One of the interesting things about doing this this sermon series is that we get to do things a little out of sequence. We get to do things a little bit out of the normal course of things. And today is the ultimate of that, because we are stepping back and we are looking at the Easter story on the first Sunday in September, and that does feel kind of out of kilter, doesn't it? But what I realized is that after I got over the initial bit of discomfort with doing something out of season, so to speak, was that I realized there's a certain freedom to doing this that allows me to talk with you a little bit more about what the Easter story is that might get missed on a normal Easter Sunday. See, on a normal Easter Sunday, Darren and I have nerves that are shot because we know there's going to be a lot of guests, a lot of visitors, a lot of people who get to church once, twice a year. And we are really kind of trying to pull out all the stops in order to do the best job possible so that maybe we could increase that percentage of their attendance at church. And so our preaching on Easter Sunday is generally not toward all of you who are here on a regular basis, and certainly not toward all of you who actually show up on a holiday weekend. And so this allows us then today to maybe take a little different look at the Easter story from a perspective that maybe all of us should be able to see as ones who are followers of Jesus Christ and who seek to understand who he is, what he has done, and what he asks of us. And so I'd like us to look at the Gospel of Mark. I know it says chapter 6 in your bulletin. Please do not blame Donna for not being able to read my handwriting. It's actually chapter 16. And if you have a Bible, with you, I'd encourage you to open it up and look at it with me, because I'm going to get to something here. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, at the very end of Mark's Gospel, the first 8 verses, or the last 8 verses of the 16th chapter. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. May the Lord bless this a portion from his holy word. You know, sometimes we have this misperception that the scriptures came to us as a almost a package deal, that God like wrote them all out and dropped them down from heaven so that we all have a copy of the Bible to call our own. Well, it's not exactly how it all worked. The scriptures came to us through the hands of many writers over the course of many generations. And the Gospels themselves were written in a different period of time. Mark was the first of the four Gospels, and it was written not that long after Jesus' death and resurrection. And these writings then, these individual books, were passed around the community, and they were passed from town to town and from region to region. And the way that they did that was they didn't have email, they didn't have electronic communications, they didn't even have printing presses. They had people who would write down, they'd sit there, copy on this side, copy on that side, and they would write the copies, and then these copies would be sent out. And one of the interesting things that we see in the Gospel according to Mark is that they didn't like the way that Mark ended his Gospel. About 100 or so years after Mark's Gospel was written, the people who were doing the copying decided somebody somewhere forgot a page. And so they added more to the end of Mark. They added what in some Bibles is verses 9 through 20, which kind of ties everything together in a nice, neat little package and you know, is written more the way that you would think it should have been written. But that's not how Mark wrote it. You see, Mark ended it exactly where we have it. All of the earliest texts that we have, all the most reliable manuscripts that we have, tell us that Mark ended it with the verse, "Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid." Can you see why those copyists were uncomfortable with that ending? Does that seem like any place, any way to end a story? A story that is as important as this one is? Does that seem like the way that you would end the story about Jesus and his life, his death, his resurrection? But that's how Mark ends it. That's where Mark leaves it. Well, why did Mark do that? We have been following Mark for the whole summer now, trying to get a feel for who he is and why he's sharing the gospel and the manner in which he is sharing it. And all along, as Amy reminded us earlier, all along, every time somebody started to declare who Jesus is, every time somebody tried to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, or whatever title they ascribed to him, Jesus' response, "Shh, don't tell anyone, because the timing was not right." He didn't want us to tell anyone until we knew the whole story, until we could see the whole picture, until we could see how all of the parts of the puzzle into place. He didn't want us to tell the story until people understood the cost of what the story was all about. He didn't want people to tell the story until they saw how it was that God was going to resolve this story. It was the great messianic secret to be held until the time was right. And now the time has to be right. This is the very end of the story. This is when everything has come together. Everything has come to completion. Everything has come to fruition. The story of Jesus' death and resurrection complete the whole story of what the good news of Jesus Christ is all about. That not even death is stronger than God's love toward each and every one of us. That not even death can keep God from redeeming us. we come to that conclusion. We see the whole picture. We see how God has worked in and through Jesus Christ in his sufferings, in his death, in his resurrection, all of his teachings, all of his miracles, all of those stories that Mark gathered in to share with us. We now see it. And the gospel ends with nobody saying anything to anybody. Why in the world would Mark do that to us? Because it's up to us to tell the story. It's up to us to share the good news. Remember at the very beginning of Mark, when we were just starting out this study, I had said to you that Mark uses this wonderful phrase at the beginning. In verse 1 of chapter 1, he says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That Mark wasn't talking about this is the beginning of the story. It's the beginning of the gospel, and the gospel has begun, and it is up to us to see that that gospel continues to be known, to be shared, to be enjoyed, to be celebrated. Mark left it hanging so that each and every one of us reading this gospel would realize that it is our responsibility to carry it on. You know, if it was all tied up in a nice, neat little package and the story was told and everybody knew what was happening, we go, boy, I'm glad I didn't have to take care of that. But instead, he gives us the honor and the privilege to take that beginning of the gospel, to make it ours, and to carry it out. It becomes not Mark's story. It becomes our story to tell. It becomes our story to give shape to our lives. It becomes our story to give us a focus for how it is that we ought to be living. It becomes our story to share good news in a world that is so hungering for good news. To share light in a world that seems to be filled with darkness. To share love in a world that seems to be filled with hatred and anger. This is our story to tell. That's what Mark is doing. He says it's a secret no more. Go ahead, share it. Let people know that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Let people know that Jesus Christ has shown God's love to everyone. Let people know that God was willing to die for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's our story. It's a story that we share together with each other this day in this meal that reminds us of Christ's death for us and reminds us of His resurrection for us. It is our story. Let it become a part of who we are. Let it become a part of what we share with this world. Would you pray with me? Almighty and ever-loving God, we do give you thanks for the gift of your Son, for whom not even death itself could keep us from knowing His love. Not even death could hold Him down. Help us, O Lord, to be hearers of the good news, but more importantly, help us to be bearers of the good news, sharing it through our lives in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.